You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Man, I'm glad to be here. How about you? I mean, you could be in the best jailhouse in the county, but you're here. You could be in the best hospital in the county, but you're here. There are other places you could be. Amen. I mean, think about it. I mean, you're in the house of God. Hallelujah. Serving God, just worshiping God, getting into the Word of God. I'm ready to get in the Word. How about you?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, last week we started teaching along the lines of attending to God's Word, and took that apart. In fact, turn to Proverbs 4, if you would. There's a lot of voices in the world today. The question is, whose voice are you going to follow? A lot of reports in the world. Whose reports are you going to believe? There's a lot of instruction, a lot of information. You could just bring up any scenario, situation, or circumstance in your life, and you'll have four or five different people telling you four or five different things to do. Even when you get a cold, you know, there's all kinds of remedies for colds. Some of them are okay, some of them are not okay. They got people coming up with some weird stuff. You know, if you're having marital trouble, even on the job, they'll tell you, you know, well, here's what you need to do. And, you know, the last place you need to get counsel for marriage is on the job. You know, you need to go to God. Amen. You get in the Word of God and find out what God says. And even, you know, medical advice, some of it's good, some of it's not so good. You need to know who you're going to. Are you with me? Just do a little research, ask around people that, you know, is this a good doctor? Do they have a good report, you know, with other people? And then, of course, what they can't do, God can do.
That's right.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And even when you go to the doctor, you need to believe God.
Yeah. Amen.
Are you out there? And, I'm, of course, I'm talking to actually, she's already a doctor. She gets her certificate in a couple of weeks, or this next weekend. But Jennifer's always had a dream to do medical missionary work. You know, even when she was little, she wanted to go to Walt Nevis and do missionary work. Because we went down to Mexico, and of course she heard the stories of Walt Neva coming up here. And we took Jen and the whole family down to Monclova, Mexico one time, down near Zaragoza, Henry and Josie Zaragoza. And Jen was just a little bitty thing then. She's four years old. And I preached in a church there. In fact, we were instrumental in getting that land, purchasing that land. Our church helped in getting that land purchased. And the church started, and other churches started from that. It just exploded. And we went down there, took the kids down there, took our van down there with all the kids. And Jennifer thought, she went out and talked to all the little kids. Of course, they just flocked her, the blonde hair and blue eyes, you know. And she thought everybody down there spoke in tongues. Because they would just come up and just talk to her. Of course, it was Spanish. You know, she thought it was tongues. And she started talking tongues back to them because she was baptized in the Holy Ghost. And she'd just walk around, oh, shalabalalamaka, shalalama. She started praying in tongues. And she comes running up and telling us, everybody speaks in tongues down here. Everybody down here speaks in tongues. And I was trying to explain to her. I said, well, honey, that's a language. Yeah, I know. It's another language. They all speak in tongues down here. No, honey, that's their language. They speak Spanish. She didn't get it. She's four. She was happy. She was excited. And she's just running around. It was just the most amazing thing. Anyway. But something got in her. You know, us having missionaries come through the church here and then her going on mission trips. And she actually organized one of the trips they took. It was 90-something medical students they took to Guatemala on a mission trip. And she actually organized one of those trips while she was going to medical college. And went on another trip. Two more medical trips. And so she just had a heart for that, you know, because you can do a lot in medical missionary trips.
Yes.
You know, you show people how much you care, and you have moral authority to speak into their lives. They'll listen to what you have to say. They know you're not just trying to scam them. Are you with me? You're actually trying to help them, you know. And it's a great combination. I've been on countless missionary trips, weekend trips, dental trips, optometrist trips, where I preach at night. We go give them free dental during the day, and free pass out glasses and fit them with glasses, and do medical. And we do that just on weekends, and we had meetings at night, and I'd preach at night. I worked with the doctors and the dentist and did that for years. And it's amazing the results you get. Even those old hard men down there in those villages that wouldn't darken the door of a church. you know, you work on their teeth, or you get them fit with some glasses out in the middle of nowhere where they have no doctors and no hospitals and no money, and you do that free, and you say, hey, I'd like you to come here service tonight, which will set a tent up out here. You come to church. They'll come. They all stand back at the back, but they'll come. Those old men. You've seen that happen. Yeah. Seen a lot of people get saved and healed and set free just from showing that you care. Yeah. That's what the food bank's about, if you want to know the truth. It's just bait. It's really just bait. Oh, we care. We want to feed them, sure. But our goal is to get them to Jesus. Amen. The biggest thing and the greatest thing going on out there is that prayer room.
That's right.
Yep. The prayer room they go through. And we've seen a lot of people get their lives straight and get hope back in their lives again. Find out God loves them, cares about them. He's for them, not against them. Hallelujah. And food, well, we just do that because we love them. We do that because we're Christians. So that's a good combination. Amen. Amen. All right, Proverbs 4, have you found it? Mm-hmm. Proverbs 4:20, which is just a real, most of you could probably quote this, says, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Now, attend, we went over last week. Well, some translation says, pay attention to my words. And that's the key. You know, I hear a lot of words, you read a lot of words, you hear a lot of words, but you don't always focus on them. God's saying you need to focus it. Whatever's going on, just shut it out and let's focus here on what God's saying. Let's pay attention. You got kids, you're always saying, hey, listen up, pay attention. You know, because they're all running around and not listening to what you're saying. They're distracted with other things. Well, you and I don't want to get distracted when it comes to God's word. God's word is the utmost importance. It is the most important word you will ever hear. These words will change your life. These words will set your future on a path that'll cause you to be a success and a blessing and a help to others. If you pay attention to them. If you don't pay attention, you know, you won't do the right thing. You won't remember to do the right thing. So he says, attend to my words. It's like be there. When you attend a venue or attend a meeting, you go there. Isn't that right? So just think about it that way. We talked about that. So I want to attend. I want to show up when I'm reading the word. A lot of times we're not showing up when we're hearing something. We're kind of there looking at the watch, and we're there, but we're not there. Our body's there, but our mind is not. And so God's saying he wants you to show up and tend to my words, incline your ear into my sayings. Everybody say my sayings. Not everybody else's sayings. My sayings. I had a lot of sayings before I got saved. You know, and I had a lot of information before I got saved. I thought I knew a lot of things before I got saved. I thought I was cool, but I was just a fool. Hello. And then when I got in the word, I found out what the truth really was. I found out I was wrong about a lot of things. And thank God for my parents, and thank God for my mom and dad. And you know, they weren't perfect. I'm not blaming them for anything. My dad, of course, was an alcoholic and got sobered up in AA, thank God. And mom and him married each other 3 times. And, you know, it had kind of a rough upbringing. We were in that sense. I got in drugs early in life and jails and so on. And thank God I got saved. All that going on, some of the things I learned, some things I got from my parents were good. Some things were not so good. And they'd admit that too. But I don't blame them. They were fighting their demons. The way I turned out is my choices. The way you've turned out is your choice. I mean, how long are you going to blame your mom and your papa? I see people 60 and 70 years old still talking about their mom and daddy ruined them when they were little kids. My God, when are you going to get over this?
Yeah.
Grow up, you little baby. Come on. Are you out there?
Yeah.
You're not a baby anymore. That's a bad deal. I hate it too. I hope you had good parents. But if you didn't, you can get over it. Come on. Y'all still love me?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. We don't always like to hear that. We want somebody to just pat us on the back. Sometimes we need a pat on the butt. That's what we do. But anyway.
Amen.
So it says, and I'm not going to spank you. Stay with me. My son, attend to my words. Incline thy ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from your eyes. In other words, keep it in front of you. And keep them in the midst of your heart. Hallelujah. Keep them inside of you. You know, keep whatever's in you is going to come out of you. You're a product of what's coming out of inside of you. And what's coming out of the inside of you is what you put inside of you. You know, the ground can only grow what's planted, that's all. And so if you plant God's words, that's what he's saying, because words are seeds. Jesus said in Mark, the 4th chapter, the parable of the sower and the seed, he said the seed is the word of God.
Yeah.
And so words are seeds, be they bad or be they good. If you've been listening to a bunch of bad words and bad reports, if you heard you can't make it and you're no good and you hate your mom and you hate your pop and you've never done a good thing in your life, but God loves you and I love you, God bless you, dirty, rotten little hearts. If that's what you've been hearing all your life, then that's going to get inside of you and you'll think you're just nothing and you're worthless and you're useless and you can't do anything and you never get anything right. Hello. That'll get root in you, see? That'll get inside of you and grow inside of you. That's why God says, attend to my words. They're good words. They're healthy words. They'll bring forth good fruit. They'll change the direction of your life. Hallelujah. But you've got to pay attention to them.
Right.
You got to guard them. You got to keep them. You got to keep them. Keep them in the midst of your heart. That word keep means to guard, protect, keep them. You get something inside of you, God said, and somebody says something opposite of that. Somebody says you can't make it when God says you can make it. Somebody says you're not healed when God says you are healed. Are you with me? Then you got to guard that word. You got to say, no, you got to pull that root, that weed out. No. I am healed. I can make it. Hallelujah. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm going to guard and protect this. This is a good word. I'm going to grow this. I'm going to pay attention to this. I'm going to water this word because this is what I won't grow in. You say, well, I just don't pay attention to anything. Well, those are the people who have all the weeds in their yard. Right? Because you don't live in a vacuum. Something's going to grow. Something's going to grow whether you sow it or not. The wind will blow seeds in your life. Just living your life, you're going to pick up, you're going to hear words, and they're going to take root if you don't purposely grow something.
That's right.
This is not natural. This is supernatural. No garden is natural. No yard is natural. If you go by my house and it has been mowed, because I have or my grandkids have mowed it, it didn't just get that way. Are you with me? Somebody mowed that yard. If you go by a garden and you see rows of things planted, and you see sometimes in small gardens, you'll see sticks in there with little pitchers, seed packs with what's growing. These are tomatoes, and these are potatoes, and this is onions in this row. You know, when you see, that's not natural. Someone has gone in there and taken over nature. Someone has determined and prophesied the future of that ground. And somebody has gone in and weeded and watered and fertilized. Are you with me? So if you want a bright future, then you're going to have to purposely head toward a bright future.
Yeah.
You're going to have to decide what kind of future you want. And you're going to have to plant the right seeds. And you're going to have to focus on what God says. This is a path. In fact, if you back up there in the 18th verse, it says the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto that perfect day. Your words, your actions are laying out a path before you, a direction that you're going. Whether you do it haphazardly, whether you do it consciously, or whether you don't do it consciously, whatever you're saying and whatever you're doing is taking you down a road. Because actions and words are roads. Now, you know, the psalmist said this. It's Psalms 119, verse 105 says this. It says, your word is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. I like that. The psalmist is saying this very simply. He said, I choose to walk the path of your word. I choose to let your word lighten up the direction I take. Not what somebody else said about me. Not what mom said, what daddy said, unless it was the word. If they said the word, fine. Not what my own mind is telling me, because sometimes your mind will deceive you. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
And not just your flesh and your desires. No, God's word. We're going to let it make a path for me, and I'm going to let your word shine light on my path and on my future, and I'm going to walk that path.
Mm-hmm.
But you're going to walk the path that's laid out. And the path that's laid out is what you've been saying and what you've been hearing. So if you're talking negative, you're going to walk negative. You talk positive, you're going to walk positive. You cannot live in defeat if you're talking positive. And you cannot live in victory if you're talking defeat. Hello? Just can't do it. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Those that say they can and those that say they can't are both right. Do you know that? They're both right. Because if you say you can't, you can't. If you say you can, according to God's word, You're basing on Scripture. You can. Hallelujah. You can make it. You can go over. Hallelujah. And that's what he said. He said, let's be very attentive and in particular about what we listen to. Let's attend to God's words. If you attend to my words, incline your ear to my sayings, he's saying, and you don't let them depart from your eyes, and you keep them in the midst of your heart, they are life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. Hallelujah. You do not have to die. You can be healed and live. Praise God. You can get over it. You don't have to go under. You can go over. Every opportunity. See, every crisis, you have an opportunity to go up or go down. Well, choose to go up. Choose what God says, and let's go over, hallelujah, instead of going under. You tired of going under? You're sick and tired of being sick and tired? There's an answer. It's in God's word. But you got to pay attention to it. You got to keep it in front of your eyes. You've got to start saying it. You've got to start praying it. And you've got to start rooting out all those doubt and unbelief that comes along and all the multitude of voices that bombard your mind and your head every day. You got to learn to turn TV off. Are you with me? Instead of all that stuff you're hearing. And sometimes you just got to love your relatives, but just don't listen to them. Sometimes. Now, if they're all saved and full of the Holy Ghost, you just listen to them. That's fine. But if they're not, sometimes you got to shut that down. Amen? So he says, let them not depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. 22nd verse. For they are life to those that find them, and they are health to all their flesh. Wow. This will change not just heaven, your destiny, your future, but it'll change this earth where you live. God's word is not just about heaven. It's also about where you live. It's about having a good marriage. It's about having a healthy life. It's about being full of joy instead of depression, praise God. Full of faith instead of fear, praise God. Prosper instead of going under. You know, God does not want you to go under. There's nothing religious and pious about being poor. That's foreign to the scripture. Jesus said, give to the poor. He didn't say, leave them alone, they're spiritual. Y'all don't sound real excited about prospering, but God really does want to prosper. He just wants your heart right. Yeah. Amen. He doesn't mind you having things as long as they don't have you. Yeah, praise right. God. But it's God's word that's going to lay that thing out. See, the Bible is like a map. It doesn't get you anywhere by itself, but it tells you how to get to places. And it's a good map. You can follow it. Okay? You can trust it. There are treasure maps and things that have been made up and fake maps and so on and so forth. And there are maps that need to be revised, and sometimes towns change their name. But God's word, no, it's a map that never changes. It's a map that heaven and earth pass away, my words never pass away. The interesting thing about a map is a map won't drive your car. You can put it in the front seat and it won't turn the key, it won't grab the wheel. Because what it is, it tells you what to do. But you have to do it. Amen? You have to do it. See, you are doers of the word. The Bible says, be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. So when he says, pay attention, keep guard, keep it in front of your eye, incline your ear to this, he's saying, you go do this. You act on this. Let this become a part of your life. You make a decision, I'm going to go God's way instead of the way my flesh is pulling me or the world's pulling me. I'm going to do what God says, not what everybody else says to do. Are you out there? I'm going to follow the map. Because I trust the map. I just don't know. I don't think that map's true. I think I'll go left instead of right. No, you've got to trust the map. Well, I think I know a little better. I know God said do this, but I think I'd rather go ahead and do. I think it'd be smarter. You think you're smarter than God? Or you think you're smarter than the map? Hello? The map won't get you there, but it tells you how to get there if you follow the instruction. And you and I, praise God, we can do this. See, God didn't say we couldn't do the word. He said, be ye doers of the word. That means I can do it. I can love, I can forgive, I can lay hands on the sick, hallelujah. I can have a bright future and a hope and a destiny. I can have a good marriage, praise God. I can be a light and be an example and be a witness. I can live holy, I can live right because God said I could. He said I'm a doer of the word, hallelujah. That's what I am. It's just what I do. That's what we should say when people say thank you. Once you forgave them or helped them or blessed them, you should say, it's just what I do. Maybe you shouldn't say it that way, but anyway. It's what we do since we got saved, amen? It's just what we do. The Holy Spirit's not the doer of the word. He helps me do it. See, we're often saying, Holy Spirit do this. No, the Holy Spirit won't do it. He'll empower you to do it. Holy Spirit, help me. That'd be good. Amen? Yes. And then we give God the credit because he empowered us, but he empowered us to do it. And if I don't do it, it won't get done. If it's to be, it's up to me. Hello? You want to change the direction of your life? You can do it with God's word. If you'll attend to it. In fact, there's always a blessing on the other side of your obedience. In other words, God says, do this, and I'll bless you. Deuteronomy is just filled with blessings along those lines. In fact, turn to Deuteronomy 6 chapter. This helping anybody? Okay, but you need to tell your face or do something or, you know, woohoo, hallelujah. Way to go, preacher. You know, help me along here. It's quiet in here for Mother's Day. You know, think about a map. I love this. Trenton called one time. He's talking to his mama. You got GPSs and everything in your phone now. You know, you used to have them up on the dashboard. Now you got everything in your phone. Everything in the phone now used to have books and all kinds of things. But Trent was coming back from Florida he was coming to Wills Point, and he hit this long spot where he had no signal. And he pulled off on the side of the road and finally got a signal, called his mom. He said, I didn't know where I was. I didn't know what to do. My GPS didn't work, and I didn't know, you know, I was hoping I was on the right road, and I couldn't pull up Google Maps and everything. And I told him, I said, well, you ever heard of a thing called a map? You know, my day they had this map. You could buy it and put it in your car, and you just, hello, you unfold it, and it has these lines on it with numbers for the highways. And it has like east, west, all that on it. You know, it's amazing how you get dependent on something and you lose your direction because that thing fell through. Yeah. It's kind of like your flesh and your own thinking, your own intelligence, is we depend on it too much. And then when we run out, which happens quite often, you don't want to admit it, but it's true, it runs out from time to time and you're lost and you don't know what to do. What you need, something's a little more reliable, and that's God's word. And you know, guys, I know it's tough, but you need to pull the map out and look at it. You know, we don't like to look at maps. We get lost. We will find our way out of this. Our wives are telling us to pull over and ask direction. I don't need direction. I'm a man. I know where I'm going. Yeah, you're going the wrong way. That's where you're going. Or the thing about, Mo mentioned this, and I think men's breakfast, yesterday we had men's breakfast. The manual's another thing. You know, guys don't like manuals. We uncreate something's got to be put together. We take that manual, throw that away first thing. And then we figure out how to do this, and then we come up with three or four extra screws. Hello. And the thing's not working, and we don't know what's going on. And we just sheepishly crawl over there and get the manual because we hate to admit that we actually need to get advice from anybody. We're men. We know everything, right? But the manual helps you put things together. And the Bible's that way. It doesn't put it together for you, but it tells you if you'll follow the instruction. I've gotten manuals. I just kind of skim through and look at the front page and how it's supposed to look when it's finished. And I'm thinking, I read the manual. No, you didn't. You didn't take, you. I put the wrong thing together first. Uh-huh. You ever done that?
Yep.
Okay, there's one guy that's honest here. One man is honest. He's shaking. He goes, yeah, I've done that. I put the wrong thing together first, and I wasn't supposed to put it together till like the third step, you know. But I saw, hey, this goes this way. So I'm sitting there figuring all this out. I looked at the picture. I see what it looks like when it's finished. But I didn't read it to where it says do this first and that next and that next. Hello. And the Bible gives us instruction like that. It says do this and do that and do that. But we want to jump to the end of it. Skip to the good stuff. You know, read the last chapter. Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, we do win in the last chapter. That's good news. But I'll tell you how we win in the rest of it. See, that's what he's given us a manual to put our lives together. A map to show us the direction to take. And you might say it's a menu too. This sermon is brought to you by the letter M. The Bible is a menu. You know, when you go in a restaurant, you don't throw the menu away. You don't just jump up and say, hey, I want some fried chicken. And they come out and says, oh, we're Chinese food, right? We sort of serve fried chicken. But if you'd read the menu, hello, you'd have known they didn't serve fried chicken. It's a Chinese food restaurant. Now, obviously, you can't eat the menu, but it does tell you what you can order. and what you can, what is available, what's cooking in the kitchen. Hallelujah. So the Bible is our menu, praise God, and it is our map and it is our manual. But we are the ones that follow the map, follow the manual, and order off the menu.
Yeah.
Okay? So you can just pray whatever you want to pray, but it's no, it may not be something that God promises you. Are you out there? You may be asking for something God didn't give you a promise for.
Yeah.
But if you'll open up the menu, you'll know what he's serving in his kitchen. And if it's on that menu, they're never out. It's not a seasonal thing. They always have whatever's on that menu in God's kitchen. But you still have to place an order. You still have to pray. Amen? And you cannot eat the menu, even as pretty as the pictures are. You can't lay the Bible on top of your head at night when you go to sleep and expect it to get inside of you. It doesn't work that way. Are you out there? You have to get into the Bible yourself, begin to quote it and say it. Attend to my words, incline a ear into my sayings. Amen. Let them not depart from my eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those that find them, and they are health to all their flesh. Hallelujah, somebody. Deuteronomy 6, found it? Okay. I won't keep you all day. This is good stuff. This will help you. This will help you. I hope you read your Bible. If you don't, start reading it. I hope you do the Bible. If you don't, start doing what you read. Amen? If you just did one thing you learned this week from the Bible, it changed your life forever. Think about it. And you ought to ask yourself at the end of the day sometimes, did I do one thing the Bible tells me to do? Did I do one thing? Did I pray? Did I forgive? Did I love? Did I live right? Did I do? You know, that's the question. God's looking at us to see what we're doing with his word. And the more faithful you are with it, the more he will empower us with, the more he'll entrust us with. Hallelujah. Let's just be in the habit of doing the word. I know one thing. Bert and I decided this years ago. You've heard me say it many, many times. I don't know what all is going to happen to me in the future. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't want one. I don't believe in fortune tellers and horoscopes and all that. I believe the Bible. Amen? And I believe the destiny. My future is not... It's not just engraved in sand or in stone, as it were. I believe it's open. I believe I can change the future. I can change my destiny. The Bible tells me that because I can make decisions. I can go different directions. And if something's not looking real good, you know what? I can pray and believe God and change that. I'm not just fated to be a certain thing or do a certain thing. I believe in callings and gifts. I got that. But I have a bright, open future here that God wants me to participate with him in. And he works with me. And if I get a little off this way, he'll just go over there with me and get me back over here. If I get off that way, he'll go with me and he'll help me get back over here. He doesn't give up on me. I don't believe in a perfect will of God. I don't believe, you know, this idea that, I don't know, I'm so concerned I'm just not in the perfect will of God. Well, I don't know so much about the perfect will of God. I think sometimes I hit it, sometimes I don't, but you know what? I'm not conscious of it every second. I just do what I know to do, and if God pulls me back, I stop doing it. Are you with me? And if he gives me a green light, I go with it. And sometimes he gives me a red light and I stop doing it. But I'm going to serve God. That's what I'm going to do. Amen? I'm doing the best I know how to do. And God's my Father and he loves me. He's not a machine. And I'm not one either. I'm not a robot. God didn't make me a robot. Didn't make you a robot. You're not a puppet on a string. God wants to dance, but he doesn't want to dance with a robot. He doesn't want to dance with a mannequin. And he doesn't want to pay you to dance. He wants you to freely come. Hallelujah. And dance with him. And you know what? He'll work with you. He's a good God. Amen? And if I sin, I repent of it. I don't need to sin. I'm not excusing that. But I'll get back on my feet again. And you know what? He'll work with me. He said, okay, now let's get back on the road here and let's go. And so I'm not laying awake at night wondering if I'm in the perfect will of God. I'm doing all I know to do. The best I know how to do it. I've been faithful to the call all these years. You know, and not perfectly, no, but I mean, I've been faithful. I've showed up. Are you with me? I show up and I keep doing what God says to do and I have some tremendous victories along the road and there's some tough times too, but I just keep doing what God says to do. That's all he's asking you to do. Amen? And Bern and I have decided a long, long time ago, I don't know everything that's going to happen. I don't know what's around the corner. I don't know what crisis is going to come up. And this world's full of crisis. But I do know this. We're going to trust God. No matter how overwhelming, no matter how little or how great, we are going to trust God. We've always done that. And God has always come through. And so why would I change that? So why would I fear the future? Why would I be, you know, going nuts and frantic and pulling my hair out about what could be or what might happen? It doesn't matter what happens. I know God's bigger than anything that's ever going to happen to me. I know God's gotten me through all kinds of trials in my life. And Brent and I we've always trusted God. We've always prayed about things, and we'll continue to do so. And you know what? God will continue to show up, because he always has. Not to say trouble doesn't come. Sure it comes. We're a broken, fallen world. But I know how this thing ends. Are you with me? I have read the book many times and read it all the time, read it every day. And there's some good news in here. This is my path right here. This is the path I'm going to walk on. These are the words I'm going to attend to. Hallelujah. I have trusted them, and I've stood upon them, and our family has stood upon them, and we have seen God show up and show out so many times. I would be a fool not to trust God. Deuteronomy 6th chapter. Hallelujah. First verse. Now these are the commandments of the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you. Why? That you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That you might do them. See, we're hearing messages today. We're hearing the word today. But we're hearing something to do. Yeah. Every message you hear, you ought to ask yourself, how can I do that? How can I apply that in my life? You know, there's an area of my life I'm not doing that in. And I'm sure the Holy Spirit's speaking to lots of you. He should be. I believe he's speaking to all of us. You know, I need to get serious in this area. I need to get serious in that area. Or I hadn't been trusting God. I need to start trusting God for that thing. That thing you're worried about, you need to start trusting God. Amen? And he says this. He said that you might do them. So God obviously believes you can do it, or he wouldn't have said that. God doesn't require of you something that you can't do. He doesn't ask you to do something he knows you can't. He knows you can. He knows you're better than this. See, that's the message to the addict. That's the message, hey, to the homosexual. That's the message to the adulterer. That's the message to the liar. That's the message. Come on. That's the message to anybody that's alcoholic. Anybody is, you know what? In Christ Jesus, you are better than this. You can overcome this. You can come out of this. It's not a message of hate. We don't hate anybody. I don't hate anybody that's in sin. Are you kidding me? I don't hate myself when I sin. I just know in Jesus I can do better. And I know in Jesus I can overcome sin. So the message to the adulterer and the homosexual and the liar and the cheat and the gossiper, oh boy, I got a bunch of people in when I said that. But the message is, come to Jesus. You don't have to live that way. You can overcome that. Thank you for your enthusiasm. Hallelujah. That's what's wrong with the world. They don't know what we're for. They know what we're against. And they get it all confused. They think we hate people. We don't hate people. Goodness, I just hate sin. I hate what it does to people. I am for people. God is for people. He's even for you when you are sinning. He's still for you. If you'll come to him, he'll forgive you of your sin. He'll put you back on your feet again. Hallelujah. Yeah. Woo. And he believes you can do it. You just need to hear it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. You need to hear it right, too. You don't need to hear it hatefully. God forbid I stand up here and preach hate. I'm not to preach hate. I don't hate Muslims. I don't hate homosexuals. I don't hate abortionists. I don't hate women who have abortion. I don't hate people. I hate sin. I hate sin. I don't hate alcoholics. I don't hate drug addicts. Are you kidding me? I don't hate. I hate sin. I don't hate people. God hates sin because of what it does to people. But the good news is, here are the commandments. You can, I'll help. God's saying, I will help you do it. Amen. Okay. Second verse. That you might fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you this day, and thy son and your son's son, and all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged, that you live a good life. I'm just trying to help you. That's all I'm trying to do. That's what God's saying. I really have your best interest in mind. I want you to live a good life. And if you don't do what I say, you won't. It's not that I'm punishing you. It's not that I'm judging you. That's what God's saying. He's saying you are judging yourself. You're going the way of sin, and sin has built into it judgment. It's like a seed. If you plant a watermelon seed, it has the DNA of watermelons in it. And you cannot get yellow squash from a watermelon seed. Are you out there? Now, you want to be blessed in sin? I'm sorry. Sin has built judgments built into the sin. It's built into the action. And so when you plant that sin, judgment comes, but it's not God beating you over the head. He told you what happened before you did it. He told you what was involved in it. He told you what was built into it. See, we're often saying, well, God just, he just judged it. No, God says that stuff reaps something. And walking with God's got the DNA of good deeds and following God and loving and forgiving and praying and believing has built into it victory, long life, health. Well, now, you're the farmer. What you going to plant? It's your choice. Amen? You can choose your destiny. You can choose your future. But you're doing it actually whether you, I'm saying you can choose. You actually are choosing every day. You're choosing it by what you say. You're choosing it by what you do. And if you'll do what God, if you'll attend to God's words and you'll incline your ear to his sayings, keep his words in the midst of your heart. Guard them. Water them. Nurture those things. Create a habit of doing the word, praying for people, lifting up people, saying good things instead of bad things, talking positive instead of talking negative, talking victory instead of talking defeat. If you'll do that, then you are laying a path out in front of you. You can go ahead and put you a stake up with a picture on it with you with a smiley face. Because that's what's going to grow here in this row. And it's not going to happen naturally. It's going to happen when you stand on the Word of God purposely. Because it says this, if you'll do it, that your days may be prolonged, the second verse. He says, hear therefore, O Israel, third verse, and observe to do it, that it may be well with you, that you may increase mightily as the Lord God of your fathers hath promised you in the land that flows with milk and honey. In other words, he's saying, I want to bless you, but you got to do this to be blessed. You got to obey what I say to get the benefit of it. You got to attend to what I say in order for health and life victory to come. Good stuff. Amen. Okay, real quick now, wrap this up. Hallelujah. I'm glad I came today. This has helped me. Woohoo. I just preached myself happy. Now, this next passage of verses in the Jewish world, they would call this the Shema. Shema is the first word of this, where it says, fourth verse, hear, O Israel. The word hear in Hebrew is Shema or Shama, or I've heard it pronounced three or four different ways. So this is the way I'm pronouncing it because I am from East Texas and I'm preaching right now. So the Shema. And Shema on you if you don't know what Shema means, okay? But it means where it says hear, it actually means hear and obey. It means hear and do. It doesn't mean just listen. It actually is packed. It's a power packed word. It means to hear and do. And every little Jewish boy learns this. This is interesting because it's a part of their just part of their culture, part of their tradition, part of their religion, even to this day. This passage of scripture called the Shema, they memorize it when they're little kids, and they say it. Good to God, we'd memorize it ourselves. But he says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. In other words, you ought to be in love with him, talk about him all the time, stirred up about him, passionate about him, love God. Amen. And he said, and these words which I command you this day, these words shall be in your heart. In other words, that's just what floats your boat, man. That's just what drives you. It's the fire that you can't put out. It's the passion that's a part of your life and your destiny. You ought to love God and love his word. And it's just in you, just comes out of you all the time. Because whatever's in you is going to come out. It's just gonna happen. What you love and what you focus on, you can't get away from. You see it at every turn. What fire you can't put out, that's the fire that's driving you. It is. And sometimes that fire is not a good fire. Sometimes you put the wrong thing in you, but it's driving you. Because that's just the way it works. We're like sponges. We soak up what we're around. That's why we need to get around God's word, soak it up, and let that fire drive us. I'm driven in a good way. And you say, well, I'm not driven. Oh, everybody's driven by something. Don't say you're not. Because everybody, it's like that old Bob Dylan song, you got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you got to serve somebody. And we all serve somebody. And he says this, he says, these words which I command thee this day shall be in your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your children, And you shall talk of them when you sit down in your house and when you walk by your way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You're just talking about God and his word all the time, his goodness, his mercy, his miracles. You know, we heard a great testimony Jordan last week shared about their babies. What a miracle. Just talking about the Lord, talking about what God does, bragging on Jesus. And it just does, it lights my fire. It does. When I hear what God's doing, Michael sharing a report about those, you know, about those application systems, and my goodness, you know, you hear about miracles, you hear about healings, you hear about victories, you talk about the Lord, how good he's been to you. It just stirs me up. That's what I live for. I live for that. And we're going to go right into glory, and we're going to talk about it forever and ever and ever and ever. Amen. So he says, you shall teach them diligently to your children, and you shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. And you shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. They shall be frontless between your eyes. Keep in front of you all the time. And you'll write them upon the post of your house and on your gates. That's like little scriptures all over your house, on your refrigerator. You know, I put them up everywhere. And it shall be when the Lord your God shall have brought you into the land which he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which you didn't build. And he goes on and talks about houses that you're going to occupy, and gold and silver that somebody else made. You know, God blesses us with stuff just from serving him, putting him first. And if you look at your life now, you know, your accumulation, a lot of people have helped you and blessed you along the way, a lot of favor that you've had. Most jobs people have, it's not necessarily that they were qualified, they did fill out the forms, but in a lot of cases, a majority of jobs people have, somebody recommended them, or they knew somebody. They had a connection, they had favor. And that comes from just obeying God. God will just put his favor on you. Woo, hallelujah. But what's the end? What's the point? Because here is the point. Let's don't be like Pilate now. Pilate said, what is truth? And Jesus said, I am, and then he crucified him. So let's don't just bury it once we find out what it is. The truth is, God's word is what's going to make you great, what's going to make you success, what's going to make you the man or woman you should be, make you the marriage that you should have, make you the father you should be, the mother you should be, the son, the daughter, the brother, the sister, the employee, the employer, make you the best you can be. You need God to do that, and you're going to have to get on that road and that path to do that, and you're going to have to listen what God has to say. But he wants to make you a better person. Hallelujah. Now, I believe you can do it. Amen?
Amen.
I don't know what you're listening to, but you better be listening to the word. Amen. I don't know what you're talking about, but you need to be talking the word.
Amen.
I'll say it again this way. You cannot live in victory if you talk defeat. And you cannot live in defeat if you talk victory.
That's right.
I go a step further. You can't talk victory if you don't know the word. Because God is our victorious Lord of Lords and King of Kings. Woo! Stand up, give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Hallelujah.